Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, Sarva Lakshana Lakshanyaha. His name 362 continued. Just prior to this, one name was Atula, which means incomparable. In other words, he's the best in everything. Everything about him is the best. You can't find anyone who's as good as him in anything, or who possesses qualities to the same degree as he has. And even if anyone has any astonishing qualities, they all have their source in him, because aham sarvasya prabhavaha. Everything is generated from him. Everything has its origin in him. So all good qualities are in him, and that defines him as God. Anyone can say, I am God, and some people have the audacity to do so. Anyone who says that I am God is a rascal, with the exception of one person. That one person is Krishna. He can actually say so. So anyone can say so, but he is actually distinguished by these qualities. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes explain that people are talking of God, but we actually know who he is, and that is Krishna. And it's not just a claim that anyone can claim anyone to be God, but he fits the description, the standard description. It's not a complete description, because there is no complete description of Krishna. The complete description of Krishna is Krishna, all attractive. But within that description comes so many sub-descriptions. Why he's all attractive. So the standard description is Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasya Shriyaha Gyanavairagya Yoschaiva Shandam Bhagami Tingana. In whom is all wealth, all power, all fame, all reputation, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation, such a person should be known, or is to be known, as Bhagavan, or the English equivalent, God. If anyone is lacking in anything, they cannot be God. Only he who is complete. Everyone has some wealth. Well, some people don't, but most people have at least one or two kunas in their pockets. Kunas are still going on. They didn't allow them to have euros yet. So everyone has something. Everyone has some strength. Everyone has some fame. Some, at least someone else knows. Most people. There might be someone, some old person living alone in Sweden, and the next door neighbors don't know their name. That's possible. And hardly know they exist, but much less care about whether or not they exist. But most people, at least someone knows who they are. So they may be famous to the extent of one person knowing who they are. And even if no one knows who they are, Krishna knows who they are. Everyone at some time of life has some kind of beauty. Srila Prabhupada quoted a saying, Yuvati Kukuri Sundi, Sundari, which means that in youth, a girl, even if she looks like a dog, has some kind of beauty, because there's some kind of beauty in youth, which is, and Srila Prabhupada explained, that is nature's arrangement, so she can catch some male. So, everyone has some beauty. At least in some time of life. Or most people. Some people not beautiful at any stage of life. No, there may be. I can explain about that. That once in the 1970s, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books in King's Road, one of the most fashionable streets in London, King's Road in Chelsea, I saw walking down the street, coming toward me, what looked like the epitome of female trying to be beautiful. Dressed in a mink coat, or at least an imitation mink coat, with a fashionable kind of dog on a lead, and all kinds of makeup and all this, and fancy shoes, and the way people walk in King's Road. They're walking around with thousands of pounds worth of clothing, and the makeup probably cost a few hundred pounds also. Then as she came closer, I saw she didn't have any nose. It was just a hole where the nose should be. So whatever else may be there to look beautiful, there's no nose. It's not attractive. Anyway, most people have some kind of beauty. Most people have some kind of knowledge. Even everyone's knowledge in this material world is all tadvidya. What is that? That verse, ritaritam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chamani tadvidya atmano mayam yathabhasho yatha tamaha. Krishna states that whatever appears to be real, if it's not in relationship to me, it might appear to be real, but it's not. It's a reflection of actual reality. But anyway, from some standard or other, everyone has some knowledge. Everyone has some renunciation. Someone, after he's eaten 50 gulab jamuns, doesn't want to take any more unless he's Sahotraswami. Just to win the contest. But Krishna has all qualities in full. Therefore, he's all attractive. Now, to have all qualities in full, that might present some kind of dichotomy. Because to be all-powerful and all-sweet, these two don't seem to go together very well. Someone is very powerful and majestic, it doesn't fit with being very sweet. That's why Krishna in Vrindavan, the people of Vrindavan, they don't see him as powerful and majestic. And in Vaikuntha, they see him as sweet, but they're more powerful and majestic. In Bhagavatamrita, it's described that Gopakumar, when he came to Vaikuntha, he insisted on wearing a cowherd boy's dress, even though the residents of Vaikuntha said, it doesn't fit here, you should dress up more fashionably. He said, no, I want to wear this. So they could understand he was very much in the mood of being a cowherd boy. So they cautioned him, okay, now we're going to bring you for darshan of Narayan. Don't do anything wrong. You have to treat him very respectfully. Don't walk up to him and start talking in a very familiar way or try and embrace him or any such thing. So they brought him into the presence of Narayan, and immediately Gopakumar saw, it's my Gopal, and ran toward him to embrace him, and the guards caught him. Don't do that. Because Gopakumar saw him as being very sweet, but the residents of Vaikuntha saw him as being very powerful. Actually, he's both. He has full majesty, full sweetness. But in the perception of the devotees, only one quality is manifest at a time. the person, the personality of Godhead who has manifest both of these qualities profusely is Ramachandra Bhagavan. But because of that admixture of, or because of that quality of being the king, he can never be that close to him. Only a very few can be very close to him. And Hanuman maintains some respect. Lakshman maintains great respect. Even those, all of them, Sita, they all maintain respect. But Krishna, who is Atul, who is incomparable in Vrindavan, his friends, they play with him. They have a fight. Sometimes they defeat him in fighting. So they think, what's this, all this God business? When they come home from the cow herding, coming from the forest, entering the village of Vrindavan, every evening all the demigods will be there, Brahma, Shiva, Indra, all offering prayers. The cowherd boys are there. And they also go in front of Krishna and they offer prayers in jest. Oh, Krishna, you're so great. Ha ha ha. They think it's a big they think it's a big joke. Well, these stupid demigods. Well, Mother Yashoda, she doesn't think of Krishna as being very powerful. She thinks of him as helpless. She has to protect him. All these demons came to attack him. And because of her devotion to Narayana, Narayan protected Krishna every time. It's nothing to do with him. It's because of her. She's protecting him. And Narayan is protecting, but because she's doing her bhakti, and then she's praying to Narayan for Krishna's protection. Therefore, Krishna is protected. So he has all the symptoms of being the Supreme Lord, but especially in Vrindavan, what we think of God, he's God, but in a different way. He's the all-attractive, that is the proper name for Krishna. Or Krishna is the proper name for Krishna. Because he's all attractive in every way. He may be, if someone is all attractive, at least we who are fortunate enough to be under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, we can understand that sweetness of personality is more attractive than power and dominating. But most people, at least in a political structure, then we want to have someone who's powerful and dominating. We don't want someone who's too nice to be in charge of a state. If someone's trying to be nice, it doesn't work. Like Pandit Nehru, he had this, first Prime Minister of independent India, had this non-aligned policy, and being a disciple of sorts of Mahatma Gandhi, non-violence, and but he had his deputy Prime Minister, this Sardar Patel, who was, he had a different point. He marched the troops into Goa and said, okay, you're not Portuguese anymore, now you're part of India. And when that non-violent policy fell to pieces with the Chinese attack on India. And then what are you going to do? Oh, okay, very nice. So you need a powerful leader. You need someone who can take charge. Otherwise, two-party. I remember seeing in my childhood, my mother wanted me to be a Christian missionary priest. So I kind of fulfilled that, but without the Christian part. So anyway, they took me to a school one day where I was supposed to... this is a bit of a stupid example, but anyway, we're into it now. It took me to a school where I was supposed to stay there and be trained as a priest, but my father kept on telling me that If you don't want to go, just say it. You don't have to go if you don't want to. In retrospect, it seems like he didn't want me to go. So after showing us all around, this was in the boarding school was in Liverpool. So you could guess what they thought they would do after showing around the whole school. What do you think they do? Either play a Beatles song or what they said, let's have a game of football. Okay. So we had a game of football. And then one side was awarded a penalty, and then two boys were arguing. No, I want to get a take penalty. Oh, I want to take a penalty. Oh, I want to take a penalty. Oh. And the priest was standing, and he was bewildered. He didn't want to do it. Didn't know what to do. I said, okay, that's it. I'm not going to this school. They can't take charge. They suggested some little situation where two boys are arguing, and the priest, he doesn't, he's bewildered. He didn't know what to do. He's just standing there smiling. So we need someone in charge. Jimmy Carter was trying to be a nice guy. Didn't work. And then the Americans voted for Ronald Reagan, who was a tough guy. He went up to Gorbachev and told him, you have an evil empire. They were, because Carter was being trying to be nice. And it was a chaotic. The Iranians were doing that to America. And so you need someone strong in charge, someone who can take charge, not despotic. Should be a little, at least a little nice also. But if you're too nice, it doesn't work in leadership. But then you don't want everyone to be a military leader. There has to be variety in life, so people are different. But Krishna is all powerful, definitely in charge. And at the same time, he's all sweet. But to be all sweet and to be all powerful, to manifest these qualities, he has different forms. Because how we relate to someone who is all powerful and we're not, that means we have to be deferent, respectful. As Chanakya Pandit warns, you should be very careful when you're close to a king. Because a king, anytime, he can off with the head policy. If he doesn't like you, you're in a lot of trouble. So one should be very careful when one comes close to a Brahmin, an animal with horns, a snake, a king, only we should be careful because they can do harm to us. But with Krishna, there's no Krishna in Vrindavan, there's no such feeling at all. Rather, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, especially the elderly members, are thinking how we can protect Krishna from harm. That is the sweetness of Krishna. So really this name Sarva Lakshana Lakshanya, he's identified as the supreme by all his qualities. That would be incomplete if Krishna was not subordinate to Mother Yashoda. That's what makes him, what increases the sweetness is if we know that he is the Supreme Lord and still he is subordinate. So we have in this Dhammadharashtakam this description of how Krishna is tied up by Mother Yashoda. This, what is that verse? Ananta Vishnu, Prasida Prabhu. How does that verse begin? But anyway, it's describing him with names like Ananta and Vishnu, which definitely establish him as the supreme person. But at the same time, he's tied up by Mother Yashoda. So that makes it all the more sweet that he appears to be helpless. He appears to be the... He takes the role of being subordinate. And in that role, the sweetness can flow. So that is a characteristic of him, that he subordinates himself to the love of his devotees. So in all respects, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though the devotees who are the closest to him, they may not, the very fact that they do not recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead out of love for him, that's another intimation that he is the Supreme, because he's so confident in his supremacy that he can play as if he's not supreme. Someone who's not very confident of his supremacy will all the time be monitoring his troops, sending out his spies. But Krishna's just playing in Vrindavan. He's not concerned that Kamsa is over there sending. He doesn't care at all. He's not good. He's not concerned. Either. Kamsa? He thinks he's a big guy. Okay, I'll go and see him later. In the meantime, I'm just playing. That's all. He's confident like that. There's a story, may or may not be true, which we learned in our childhood. Patriotic stories of Sir Francis Drake, who you've probably never heard of unless you're British, playing bowls, some game where you throw some big balls in the southwest of England, because they're expecting an attack from the Spanish Armada with their big ships. And he was the head of this Francis Drake was head of the Navy, so he was playing bowls just because, the attack may come any time, today, tomorrow, the next day, 4 days, 5 days, 10 days, so they're just playing bowls. Then all of a sudden, kind of, the Spanish are coming, we've seen them. And Francis Drake says, okay, we'll just finish our game of bowls and then we'll set sail. So that's the confidence that, we'll defeat them. And actually they did defeat them. The Spanish had these huge ships and the English had these little ships. They went right underneath them, underneath their line of fire, and just easily sunk all their ships. So that's Krishna. He's all powerful, all opulent, all famous. Krishna in India, which is the land of Krishna culture, where the culture more than anywhere is Krishna conscious. Krishna's definitely more famous as being a butter thief than he is as being the Lord of the spiritual world. He's also known to be the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita. And people in general, they don't have any problem with these trying to logically juggle these two very different manifestations of the Supreme Person. They don't have a problem trying to logically understand it. Why is that? Because they don't try to logically understand it. Because there's no point to bring logic here. Achintya kalu ye bhavana tang tarkena yojayat prakritevyo parangyaj tat achintyasya lakshanam. We are warned, don't bring all this logic here. It doesn't work. You can't understand it anyway. Even if you try to understand it by logic, you can't understand it, so don't bother trying anyway. So, all right, Krishna's the butter thief. He's stealing the garments of the gopis. He's speaking Bhagavad Gita. And in English you say God, and we say Krishna. Yeah, okay. It's fine. No problem there. So everything about him, to one who has the eyes to see, speaks of him being God. And for those who are envious of him, they'll never see him as God. Even two kinds of people never see him as God. Either those for whom their intimate affection for him is so strong that even if they know he's God, it doesn't really make much difference to them. Just like the wife of the... Do you have a president in this country or a prime minister or what? The wife of the... Both. I see. So, okay. The prime minister is more powerful, is it? Yeah. So the wife of the prime minister, to other people, he's the prime minister. The prime minister. I guess even in Croatia, people don't take the prime minister so seriously, is it? I wouldn't think so. It's like being the mayor of a city somewhere else. If you see the population of Croatia. Okay, let's say the president of the United States. Let's get serious here. So he's a very powerful person. And wherever he goes, the photographers and security guards and so many things. But to his mother, she's just his son, that's all. I told you, why are you wearing this suit all crumpled? Come on, you're supposed to be the president now. Remember to come home. I'm going to cook apple strudel. Whatever. So, why don't you come? You don't come and see me enough now. Well, I'm busy these days. Well, you should come more often. So she knows he's the president, but to her, he is her son, that's all. To others, it may be the president, but just his son, that's all. The little brat that was screaming on her knee some, however many years. How old is that guy? 60, 50, whatever. So that one kind of person doesn't recognize Krishna as the Supreme Lord, and the others are the envious. Kamsa will say that. Oh, people say Krishna is so great. What is this? There was some little water snake that he caught called Kaliya, and then he picked up some little pebble called Govardhan, and they say he's so great. What is that? Stop. Don't praise him here. Yeah. So the different kinds of people, they don't recognize Krishna as supreme, but those who are godly, they do so. Oh, do anyone have a computer here? There's a verse I just remembered exactly goes with this. Anyone has a computer with Veduas? Ulangita Trividasimu Tashishai. Anyway, the purport of it is that this is from Yamunacharya Stotra Ratna. He says that Krishna is clearly beyond the three kinds of limitations, namely time, space, and thought. Krishna is not constrained by time, he's not constrained by space, and he's beyond our ability to conceive of. And he is recognized as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by all saintly persons and by all Shastras for persons, the Shastras that are meant for saintly persons. Nevertheless, persons who are demoniac, despite Krishna being very clearly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, persons who are demoniac, they cannot even begin to understand this. You can look it up, it's a nice verse. Have you got the Veda base open there? Okay. Well, we're going on. But anyway, when you find it, I'll give you the word. Ulanghita. U-double-L. It's taking a little time to come up. So he is the abode of all auspicious qualities. He's the ultimate definition of all good qualities. That's another way of saying the same thing. If we say that such and such a person is misery personified, or such and such a person is beauty personified, so all qualities, all auspicious qualities, Krishna is the definition of that. You got that? Ula. Still coming up. He, being the embodiment of every auspicious quality, every quality being full in him. So if we say sweetness, we should think of Krishna. If we think of power, we should think of Krishna. If we think of kindness, we should think of Krishna, because Krishna, those qualities, they take their, they reside in him in full. Which, the next name is Lakshmivan, which means Srivan, or which means this, he has got Lakshmi, which means he's husband of Lakshmi. But that Shri also means all that is auspicious. So all that is auspicious is, we could say, in him, inseparable from him. So these names, they come together. Sarva Lakshana Lakshanya, Lakshmivan. It's another way of saying the same thing. All the very definition of all God qualities. The quality of sweetness. What do we say? What is sweetness? Oh, it's that particular quality of Krishna's. That quality is seen in Krishna. The quality of trickiness. That's also fully in Krishna. He's fooled everyone. Everyone's in Maya. In this world, everyone's being cheated. Then, another meaning, sarva lakshana lakshanya, that if we analyze, if we actually analyze everything very clearly, then we'll have to come to the conclusion that there is a supreme controller, and that that supreme controller is Krishna. Of course, we have to take knowledge from Shastra also, because in this world we don't see Krishna. We have to see Krishna through the eye of Shastra. But if we, this verse, if we find it, states that also. No, did you get it? U-double-L-A-N-G-H-I-T-A. Ulangita chuvita. Utashishai. Yeah. Give it to me, I'll read it out, then it'll come in the recording. Naivasara Prabhu. Yeah, okay, please give it then. Be nice to learn all these verses. In our Gurukul, I hope some of the boys, they can learn whole Gita, maybe whole Bhagavatam. That would be a great achievement. And, why not? If you start from a young age, and then they can learn it all. And then prayers like this. This is from Stotra Ratna, and then Mukunda Mala, and Tirupavaya. I suggested they learn that, and they've learned that. So, yeah, let them learn. Fill the consciousness with transcendental qualities of Krishna. So this is from Stotra Ratna of Yamuna Acharya. Very beautiful prayers, which are very thick with bhakti and establishing the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he represented many of these prayers in Bengali verse. Anyway, this verse. This is actually quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ulangita trividha sima samatishai. Sambhavanam tava parivradhima swabhava maya balena bhavatapi niguhyamanam pashyanti kechid anisham twadananya bhavaha. Oh, okay, that's one of the verses. And then there's another one quoted just before or after this. No, I looked that up also. All right, this. So the translation of this. Oh my Lord, everything within material nature is limited by time, space and thought. Your characteristics, however, being unequaled and unsurpassed, Atula, are always transcendental to such limitations. You sometimes cover such characteristics by your own energy, but nevertheless
Your unalloyed devotees are always able to see you under all circumstances. And there's another verse which goes with this. It's the next verse or just before that. Ah, yeah, this is also, it comes two verses later in Stotra Ratna. Ah. Carrying on with the same theme. Tvam shila rupa charitai paramah prakrishtai satvena satvikataya prabalaischa shastraya. I was mixing up the two verses here. Prakyata daiva paramarta vidang mataischa naivasura prakrataya prabhavanti bodhum. My dear Lord, devotees like Vyasadeva and Narada, this is Srila Prabhupada's translation, his purport added. My dear Lord, devotees like Vyasadeva and Narada know you to be the personality of Godhead. By understanding different Vedic literatures, one can come to know your characteristics, your form and your activities, and one can thus understand that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance, the demons, the non-devotees, cannot understand you. They are unable to understand you. However expert such non-devotees may be in discussing Vedanta and the Upanishads and other Vedic literatures, it is not possible for them to understand the personality of Godhead.
So any claim on this, in this side of the Viraja, any claim about Krishna except that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead is simply absurd. And to claim anyone else to be God is simply absurd, because no one else has his characteristics. That's why Lakshmi, that's described, when she emerged from the milk ocean, there were all the demigods and demons present, and Vishnu was present, and she is specifically said that she recognized by his characteristics that he was supreme, and therefore she chose him as her husband. And thus, he became known as Lakshmivan, although she's his eternal consort. Just like, was it? Agni gave the Sudarshan Chakra to Krishna, but it's his eternal weapon, but he had the opportunity to be known as he who gave it to Krishna. So, Lakshmivan. Lakshmivan, he is. Everything that is auspicious is with him. And the personification of all auspiciousness, we can say Krishna. Or, more technically, is Lakshmi. Or, in Vrindavan, Radha. Technically, she is auspiciousness, and he is auspicious. She is Shakti, he is Shaktiman. The two are inseparable. He is the Supreme Person, that means Purush. With Purush is always Prakriti. The two coexist eternally. So he is the Supreme. She is non-different from him. In Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's explanation, there is the predominating moiety and the predominated moiety of the Absolute Truth. Moiety means a half portion. So all these names, we are discussing from our position here in this material world. We're discussing either from the platform of ignorance, that we are trying to understand and be enlightened about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or we are discussing from the platform of appreciation,
That's where we'll find that there are devotees. They recite regularly Vishnu Sahasranam throughout their life. They'll go on and they'll discuss. And even though they've discussed it many times, they go on discussing it. On and on. Madhyata madprata madgata prana bodhyanta parasparam katyantas chamangnityam tushanti cha ramanti cha. Katyantas, what is that? Parasparam katyantas. This same verse in Bhagavatam. So, that he is Lakshmivan, there cannot be any description of him. It's meaningless to speak about Narayana without Lakshmi. And just as in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, very intimate devotees, they stress Radha more than Krishna. So in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, there are others also who stress more. We have to get the mercy of Lakshmi. She's more powerful. She controls him. We find everywhere, all over the world, there is the cult variously manifested in various forms of worship of Prakriti as supreme, the female principle. Even in Christianity, in Catholicism, practically people worship more Mary than Jesus, even though there's probably nothing in the Bible about Mary. Next to nothing. And even what's there, I don't think it says she's a virgin. I think that was made up later. But there's not very much. In fact, Jesus, it seems he almost rejected her. He didn't want to see her at one point. But anyways, we have to worship the mother, the worship of the mother. So we find that in all cultures. So Lakshmi, we same thing. In Shastra, we don't find so much. But those who are so much about Lakshmi as we find about Narayana. But it's to be understood that in one sense she is more important because he cannot exist without her. Of course, she also can't exist without him. And there's no question of either of them not existing. Baladev Vidyabhushan, he describes this name as meaning that in his original form in Golok is replete with all transcendental opulence. He takes Lakshmi in the sense of opulence rather than the opulent goddess. Oh, are we doing for time? Okay. In the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a long section describing how Radha and Krishna then non-different, that's all, to introduce the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam, Nomi Krishna Swarupam. He's respected as Krishna, who has appeared with the bodily luster and feelings of Radharani. So, who is Radharani? How great is Radharani? How she's non-different from Krishna, but the same absolute truth appearing in two forms for the sake of pastimes. Radha, Krishna, Pranaya Vikriti, Haladini, Shakti, Rasma. Ekatmana, they're one, Ekatma. Ekatmana, Vapi, Bhuvi, Pura, Deha, Bhedam, Gatau, Tau. Chaitanya, Kyam, Prakritam, Yad, Antuna, Taddoyam, Chaikyam, Abtam. Radha, Bhava, Duty, Suvalitam. Nomi, Krishna, Swarupam. Offering obeisance to Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this description that the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, they are a manifestation of the Haladini Shakti. Haladini Shakti means Radha, the all bliss potency. So their pastimes, they are manifested, the manifestation of bliss. All bliss, ananda chinmaya rasa. So for the sake of enjoying that bliss, that one Supreme Truth is manifested as two, Radha and Krishna, from time immemorial. But now, those two have again appeared as one, in the form of Krishna, but with the bodily luster and feelings of Radha. And that also fits with the Sarva Lakshana Lakshanyam. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has all the auspicious characteristics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is why when Sita Thakurani, the wife of Advaita Acharya, when she went to see the newly born son of Shachimata, she immediately recognized that this baby has all the bodily characteristics. It's Krishna. Must be Krishna. No child can look like this. Only Krishna. Only there's one difference, that Krishna is blackish and this boy is golden color. So even as a child, baby, Krishna has all the characteristics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then the last name in this verse, Samitinjaya. This word Samiti, it's a well-known word in India, but the general usage of it here is it means a committee or a group of people. Generally it's used for what we would say in English as committee, or an organization, association, something like this. But the meaning of it here, it's the same as is used in Bhagavad Gita, is mean gathering of people gathered to fight. So it means Samitin Jaya. Jaya means victory. It means he's always victorious in battle. And in fact, we find that Krishna, he took part in many battles, but he was never defeated. He did run away once, but he wasn't defeated. He was never defeated. That was just another tactic. You may say, well, why did he run away from this Kala, this Yavana? He didn't fight with him. That seems cowardly. But no Kshatriya would stoop down to the level of fighting with such a low person. So Krishna is always victorious in battle, in any group discussion. He's also victorious. Jayastu Panduputranam Yesham Pakshay Janadana. Srila Prabhupada quotes this. I don't know where it's from, but he quotes it near the beginning of his Gita commentary, that the Pandavas, they must be successful because Krishna, Janardana, is on their side, even if he's not fighting. When Duryodhana and Arjuna, Krishna gave them the choice. He said, well, you both come to me, you both want me to be on your side in the battle. Duryodhana had the audacity to ask Krishna to support him in the battle. This is shamelessness personified. And Krishna said, okay, you both come to me. I can't refuse either of you. So, okay, what we'll do is, one of you can take me and the other of you can take all my army. But as I'm much more powerful than all my army, if whoever takes me, I'll be on your side, but I won't fight. So you may think, well, what's the use of having him if he doesn't fight? If you fight, then we'd win for sure. But if he's not fighting, then what's the use of having him? So Duryodhana was very happy to take Krishna's army, which then the Pandava forces just cut up into little pieces one by one. And Arjuna was very happy to take Krishna. And guess who won?
where there's Krishna, there must be victory. As in the last verse of Bhagavad Gita, Sanjay told Dhritarashtra that you're hopeful of victory, but this is the position. That yatra part, yatra yogeshvara krishna, yatra yogeshvara krishna, yatra partha dhanudharaha, tatra shrir vijaya bhuti dhruvaniti matir mama. Where there is Krishna, with Arjuna, Krishna is the master of all mysticism. He arranges everything. And Arjuna, he's picked up his gandiva. He let it drop down. Now he picked it up. Now he's dhanuda. He's holding his bow again. So when these two are joined together, there must be all opulence, morality, and victory. So your side is doomed. Even Arjuna, even if Krishna's not fighting, he's just supporting Arjuna, then Arjuna must be successful. Because Krishna is never defeated in battle. And he doesn't want to see that his devotee is ever defeated either. There's one story quoted in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, one purport, that once Prahlad Maharaj, now not as a boy, as a king, he was out in his kingdom and he came across some person who challenged him. So they started fighting. And Prahlad, he expected he would win because he was always supported by Narayana. He was a godly king. He is the embodiment of the Supreme Lord. And if he actually follows his duty as a king, of course he should have some prior qualifications. He should have a strong body, generally born in a king's family, should be noble, virtuous, living for the benefit of the citizens, not for himself. But such a person becomes empowered by Narayana, and he embodies, he is Narayana, he is Narayana to the people, inasmuch as he represents him. So Prahlad Maharaj is very powerful. And this person, he didn't know who he was, never seen him before, never heard of him, but he found he was a very severe fighter, a very difficult match. So they were going on fighting day after day. So one morning, Prahlad, he was doing his puja. And as he was worshipping Narayana, he came to understand that the person he was fighting with was Narayana, who was... and so he ran to offer obeisance to that person. He said, now I understand that you're Narayana, but there's a problem there, because we've been fighting and some days I'm getting the better of you, some days you're getting the better of me, and then... but there's that... I have the vow that... How we say that? I will never be defeated. I'm getting confused here now. So you're supposed to be God, and I'm getting confused. There's a punchline, and I... it says, so... you are known as one who can never be defeated. And Narayan said, yes, but it's not just now. I'm always defeated by you. In other words, I'm always subservient to your love. So that's a very sweet ending too. I hope it came across sweet. to this discussion of he who is, by all his characteristics, clearly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He alone who is the possessor of Lakshmi. That's another in Lakshmiva. No one else can have her. Others may desire her, but they cannot have her. Every man who desires a beautiful woman, he, which means pretty much every man, desires a beautiful woman, but they should know that the actual beautiful woman is Lakshmi, Radha, and she belongs to Krishna. Only Prakriti, the beauty of Prakriti is only meant for Krishna, not meant for us. We are meant for serving Radha and Krishna, Sitaram, Lakshmi Narayan. We are not meant to try to enjoy. So we worship he who is Lakshmivan and who is ever victorious in battle. Hare Krishna.